With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
An Erios production.
I dyed my hair brown because I was not feeling like a blonde. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went through this whole thing. I really wanted blonde hair because I wanted to be like Britney, and I've always dreamt about being blonde. Mm-hmm. And I started to go blonde, and then the shade kind of took a turn for the worse. And to me, it was a little yellow. Okay. And I was like, also people were like, oh my God, your hair's blonde when they saw me. And that really was, I wasn't feeling that. Right now, I think I'm just very, you know, internal, especially after, you know, my friends passed. And I just, like, it wasn't, my energy wasn't matching
the hair. Yep.
And I wonder if that's how Britney felt. Because of everything that's going on with her.
Definitely.
That she dyed her hair dark.
100%.
Because that's not how, she wasn't feeling like a blonde. Now, here's the thing. I am a little nervous because this is a little blackout.
Mm-hmm. A little repeat.
So you're like, ooh, Brittany, mm-hmm. we were already feeling maybe like things.
Because of the makeup.
Are a little on the edge.
Yeah.
And then you went and you dyed your hair the same color right before you shaved it all off. So I'm just a little concerned. A
lot going on right now.
There's a lot going on. Now her Instagram though also is giving me life at the same time.
Right.
For example, she posted something, and you know, I feel very connected to a lot of Britney's posts, but she posted something that made me feel like we were the same person.
Which one?
She went on a trip by herself. Uh-huh. She said she was on a solo trip. And then later she posted something where she said something like, I love eating alone. Like a lot of people don't.
Yes.
I know what I bring to the table. And she's in a short orange mini dress.
Yep.
With heels and a sun hat. And then the next picture is a fried chicken cutlet.
Yeah.
Now, a fancy way to say that would be a chicken Milanese.
Yeah. There you go.
Number one, that's one of my favorite dishes. I love going out to eat by myself. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yes.
Yeah, bring it to the table, Brittany.
You know what you bring to the table, Brittany. And that's why God. I love her. Jeffrey, do you like to eat out alone?
I was about to say no, but now I'm thinking about it. I probably do it every day.
Every day?
Probably. At least one meal a day I'm by myself.
You went to I don't ever do it to I do it by myself like, every single day.
Thinking about it, I totally eat by myself every day. Yeah.
Do you ever take yourself to a nicer restaurant, sit at, say, the bar or a table for one? And get yourself a glass of wine.
It's why is my reaction to say no, but then I think about it and the answer is like 100% like, yes.
I do it every day.
I do it all the time. But yes.
I love going out to eat by myself. I always have. So I felt very connected to Brittany.
Is it like a you time thing?
It's like a you time. And now I don't just keep to myself too. You know, I'll make friends, talk to others.
Right.
I'm curious though, if Brittany goes out by herself, I mean, it's gotta be like living in a fishbowl. Everyone's staring at her. Or do they put her in a room by herself and then one person waits on her?
Right. I mean, no matter what, she's got at least 3 security guards on her, like minimum, right? You got to think she's at least got security
on her. Does she invite them to sit down with her at the table?
I bet they aren't allowed to some extent, right?
Well, people who roll with entourages. I've had dinner with one person who rolled with an entourage. Mm-hmm. And all those people, this was like an old school famous person too.
Right.
And all of those people sat with her at the table. And so I was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, because you're like, well, I guess those are also her friends.
Right.
You know? But if Brittany's saying she's eating by herself, she's going out by herself.
Is she by herself?
She is by herself. It's just interesting. Would they let her be in a restaurant by, you know? And now the other thing is too, talking about Brittany being out in the real world on Instagram, then she meets up with Sam.
Right.
They're reunited.
This beautiful picture. They both posted it.
They both posted it. But then also she said, great weekend. And she's at some, was she at a winery? The Malibu winery? Where was she?
I thought so. It was definitely Malibu.
But there's a scene and there's normal people there. There are lay people, if you will.
Yeah, the bourgeois are like amongst them. Like,
they're out and about. Now, she seems to be on top of a hill.
Yeah.
Looking down. So maybe they put her up there and they were like, you can look at all the normal people, but you can't really be with them.
But like, I also bet she doesn't want to. It must be miserable for her sometimes. I bet that's got
to
be like.
I think she wants. I think she is craving to be a part of the people.
I don't know how you wouldn't
the
crave
real
that.
People. This is my only thing. I want her team, and speaking to what Nikki said, I just want her to be surrounded by good, positive people. And I think her team, we need a shake up. We need someone to get in there. Yeah. This is me pitching myself. And someone
caregiver.
I guess. Oh my God.
Right?
Wait, is the caregiver
position it's
gotta
be up for grabs.
Open?
Yeah.
Because I also think maybe she does need it. And like I was saying, I would love it if I could get in there and I could just say, because she's also working out alone.
Oh.
You know all her workout videos?
Yeah.
She doesn't have a trainer. And she's working out alone.
You think she doesn't have a trainer?
Jeffrey, it's too much alone time.
I'm like stressing thinking about it.
It's too much alone time. And I know that she is an introvert. I know she is very shy. And also, guys, we have an episode coming up with Nadia Quinn. She is an actress, but she also, her hobby is reading human design charts. Look up human design just to get yourself situated. Get yourself ready. It's going to blow your mind. It's incredible what we discovered about Brittany. Could even look up Brittany's human design because you just need to know her
birthday.
Her birthday, time of day she was born, location. And we all know that. So very accessible information if you don't know. And look it up and get ready. And it's just going to blow your mind. But so considering her human design chart, it's just too much seclusion.
Yep.
It's just too much.
It's not good for anyone, but
no,
specifically.
You start to go crazy.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why she's just posting pictures of single roses.
Right.
Like every other day. What is with the single roses?
And like the quotes that
and
are
the
like.
Quotes. But I also, I don't know, is she sad? Because then now her doctor died.
Yeah.
Very suddenly. Guys, I know we're unpacking a lot before we even jump into this episode, but we felt it was necessary.
There's so much going on. Can't ignore it.
And I was even like, you know, I don't want to talk a lot about the conservatorship because I am not sure that she should not be in one. Mm-hmm. If I'm being real with all of you.
You can't tell.
I don't think that we should just make a decision to fight for someone to not have something that she might need with all of her, considering her pathology.
Yeah.
Not taking that into account and all of the things we don't know about, which we talk about today mm-hmm. with our guest. Diablo Cody is with us.
Yes.
Academy Award winning Diablo Cody. She wrote the movie Juno and Young Adult's one of my favorite movies. She also wrote that. Also, so, Tully is fantastic.
Yeah, you love Tully.
I love Tully. Yeah. I love Tully because you just, if you're at a point in your life, if you're out there, and you have ever felt as though the best times in your life have passed, or you're wondering how you got to where you are, and kind of thinking back to the person you were in your 20s, and I don't know, there's just, this movie's for you.
Yeah.
And I don't even have a child in this.
You have a fur baby now.
I have Lucky Blue. I actually gave birth to this 17-pound Cocker Spaniel. Yes. I did. He was 17 pounds when he came out.
Yeah. It's very unexpected.
My vagina is broken. Yeah. He's now 20 pounds. He's put on 3 pounds since moving in with us.
That's right.
So proud of you, buddy.
He's doing so good.
But yeah, I'm not even a mom, and that movie just absolutely touched me in such a way. And yeah, so I'm really excited to talk to Brooke. Brooke is Diablo's real name, I guess we would say.
Yeah.
And we also unpack that and talk about that. Someone said that in our episode with Nikki that this was the first time that the Wade-Brittany affair was confirmed.
Oh.
I don't know about that, but someone said that to me in a DM, and I'm going to take that compliment from us, Jeffrey, that we got that scoop.
There we go. Confirmed.
Now, let's talk about a voicemail that came into the hotline.
Let's.
They were concerned of my support of the new Katy Perry music.
Mm.
Because they reminded me of when Katy Perry was on the red carpet at the Grammys, how she said that she had had every hair color, and that's except for blonde, and that's why she went blonde, and that she was kind of, she insinuated something like, I will wait to shave my head for when I have a nervous breakdown.
Right.
And the Britney fans went crazy.
Yeah.
Now, Jeffrey, I was like, let's talk about it on the microphone. Yeah.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think, two things. One, I think we can take things that any celebrity says and blow them out of proportion. Like, I don't know if Katy totally meant harm in saying that. I think they're underneath it all, there has to be some level of respect for one another. They're two women in the same industry, and Katy Perry wouldn't be Katy Perry if there was no Britney Spears. And like,
True.
She has to be aware of that to some extent.
She's not a bad person. She's just not a nice person.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Totally. And it's a clear line. It's totally fair.
Think about her on American Idol.
Yeah, that's
even
what I mean.
Way back, American Idol. Like, remember when she guessed?
Oh, she was she like a... Oh.
Way back in the day. And I was like, ooh, she's nasty. And it was before anyone kind of... Before Katy Perry was Katy Perry.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this person who's had a couple songs. I'm sure it's how people would feel about Halsey.
Perfect.
Like when Halsey was on SNL, I was like, how did Halsey
get here?
On SNL?
What is she doing, right?
But then you're like getting to know Halsey, and I still don't know anything about her.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, a little personality. All right, I'm seeing what's happening here. But I was like, oh, is Katy Perry going to be like the bitch on the streets of pop music? And then it was like, oh no, she's like about women empowerment, but also the Taylor Swift thing and blah blah blah.
Right, it's like she is, but she, like, again, I feel like that's one of those things that, like, she said but she didn't mean. It's like, and then she heard the backlash.
Yeah, or she meant it, or it was a very flip comment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hello, look at, we sit on this couch all the time, and I'm like, well, I could be two clicks away from shaving my head.
Right.
And I love Britney Spears. You know what it is, Jeffrey?
What is it?
We expect more from our pop stars, and what you were saying is accurate, that Katie, say that in your home, because it's not that offensive. And we know where your heart is.
But when you're on the red carpet.
When you're on the red carpet and you are Katy Perry.
Right.
You don't put down the people who came before you.
Right.
Who also have not only paved the way, but are just flat out more talented than you. Right. There, I said it.
100%. And it happens so often. And when you get let down, it's hard. The one thing that just popped into my head was when Sam Smith won the Oscar. He won the for writing that song. And he got up there and he was like, oh, I'm like the first gay man to ever win this award. And it was like,
not true.
Completely false. Yes. He was not.
Yes.
And like, it was very rude and it was very bad.
Interesting and shocking that his team didn't prep him beforehand.
You didn't.
Or that when he was nominated, then his team would say, do you know that you happen to be the first? If you win, you will be the first gay man to win an Oscar.
And it was like, oh, poise. And like.
But then he showed up and apologized.
The whole thing. But it's like, again, like if he said something like that, not on stage at the Oscars, it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. We would have been like, Sam, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And he would have been like, oh, okay. But no, you're Sam Smith winning an Oscar, accepting an Oscar. Like, no, you have responsibility now. You know,
a couple other things about Katy Perry. Do you know that she recorded her own version of Passenger? But even before Britney.
Really?
Yes. Now, Passenger is one of my favorite. It actually might be my favorite Britney Spears song.
You do love that song.
I love that song.
Yes.
I think it's not about being in a relationship and like trusting the person you're with. I believe that it's about trusting a higher power. Trusting your intuition, trusting something bigger than yourself to get you through life and kind of surrendering. And I think it is the most perfect song for Britney Spears to sing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Sia wrote it, it's just like, la, 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 la. That's love it
pop music.
I'm just yes. Yeah. So I listened to Katy Perry's version. It would have been great, but it's just like, it wasn't the same for me. But I just thought that was really interesting.
That's really interesting that that version is out there.
But also, at the end of the day, Katy Perry does love Britney Spears. I mean, hello, she wore the denim prom dress.
Didn't she go to her show in Vegas, too, I feel like?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that she meant any harm by it. But again, I think that Katy Perry has this underlying bite to her that isn't the most good-natured, loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know what, Katy, you might need to settle in, increase that transcendental meditation timer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Just crank it up.
It's like, I want to believe that I think she means well, but I don't think she knows like how strong her words are because she's so easily forgiven and her problems can be so easily swept away. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
I think she's a good person. I just don't think she's always nice.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm going to land on the Katy Perry thing.
That's a good landing.
But I don't think that she meant any harm by that.
No, I don't think so. Probably not.
Okay. Guys, you know, I said I made peace with Justin in the last episode. I need y'all to know that I actually recorded this interview with Brooke before I sat down with Nikki. I give it to Justin in this episode. So just know that I am on a journey and
that's it.
I'm on a journey.
That's it. That's allowed. And that is beautiful.
The main thing that I took away from my time with Nikki, and I've been thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, is how it just all makes sense. I mean, I'm as a person who loves therapy and investigating pathology and all of this stuff. After seeing the Michael Jackson documentary and hearing everything from Wade's point of view, whether or not you agree, disagree, think he's lying or telling the truth, if that is that man's story and we hear it from him, and then we know what we know about Britney, and now even getting more information about how they were all kind of like raised together and how her dad was struggling with addiction and her parents were you know, not in a great place at this time. Eventually ended up, you know, getting divorced, splitting up. And Justin being surrounded by, how Nikki describes it, a really great team that really protected him. And that he seems to be the one that's thriving in the mental health department. Now, I know some of the, I don't like that I said that. I'm going to take that back. Guys, I don't like those words there. But don't, I don't like that. I don't agree with anything I just said. But that he's thriving. He seems very healthy. Now, granted, he is a white man. So all signs were pointing to that, that, you know, we would end up there. I guess I'm just, I have more forgiveness for him.
Okay. Yeah.
I have more forgiveness.
You have a fresh perspective too. It's a way you've never really looked at his life, you know, and to hear it from someone who saw it, like she didn't read this on the internet. You know, she didn't read this in an article somewhere. She like watched it happen every day. So that's a, it's a powerful testimony, you know.
How do you not wonder how someone's doing? I mean, Nikki said, yeah, of course, I'm sure he wonders. But the fact that they don't sit down together, though, and be like, what do you think's going on with Brittany? Or like, how's Brittany? You know what? I'm going to reach out. I've been reconnecting with old friends or spending and spending more time with old friends. There's nothing like an old friend.
Because they know you.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm not saying that you need to make it an even monthly thing to check in, but just not to sit down and be like, our kids should meet. Do you want to have dinner? Because her team would approve that.
Right. Anything.
It could be Brittany, Sam, Justin, Jessica, Nikki, and her husband from Take Five. And they could have a reunion. They could all bring their kids.
He's a lawyer.
Yes.
He knows the legality here.
I don't know. I think that could be really good.
It would have to be private as all hell, though.
Yeah.
That could not be in a public place.
No, no, no. Like at someone's home.
Yeah. Like
at someone's home.
Oh, yeah.
Last thing I'll say is that Brittany wasn't with her kids on their birthday. But that happens, right? In custody.
Yeah.
Stuff.
It does. Holidays.
She posted
birthdays.
A picture of them. But when Brittany said she went on vacation alone, I also thought to myself, she's never alone because she's always being watched.
By so many people.
But just like even on her team. But that's, is that weird or is that fun for her? Guys, I can't stop thinking about it.
Right? Like how are you so alone when you are the most, one of the most popular people in the world? How are you alone?
I mean, she is alone. But then she's not alone because she's got her team around her and this caregiver. Does the caregiver see her every day? I can't let this go.
Right? Like, but even like, even if it's not the caregiver, like, does her hairdresser see her every day? Like, does she get her, like, is she doing her own makeup? Is she doing her own styling?
Jeffrey.
Like,
girlfriend,
I mean,
is doing her own makeup.
Her own, we got that question answered.
Who else would be doing that
you're
makeup?
Right. You're right. It's true. Right. So then who else is like with her? Like, is her manager talking to her every day? Is he there? Is it like the conservator that does the conservator have to be there every day to be like,
I know,
take your meds?
Well, caregiver, that person
that right
is administering the medication.
So like,
Interesting.
Is she like with all those people, but like not able to talk about certain things?
Who does she trust? What are her,
right? Can she trust
Sam
them?
Talk about? Oh gosh,
I know.
A lot to unpack. All right, let's get into it.
Here we go.
All right, here we go, guys. Call the hotline. 814-277-3277. If you're having a Brittany emergency or if you need to unpack any of this like Jeffrey and I did today, let us know.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my talk with Diablo Cody. Why is that your fave?
I think I relate to the I think I relate to the sentiment. And I also have an obsession with aliens, if we're going to get like really literal.
Mm-hmm.
Very interested in aliens. I have type O negative blood, which is the universal donor and is a mutation that some people believe is extraterrestrial. I think, you know, I don't know what Brittany's blood type is, but I'd be interested to find out.
Uh-huh. Jeffrey, maybe you can just make a note of it so we can add it to the end of the episode.
Although it's possible that Brittany doesn't have blood and there's just like circus fantasy perfume flowing through her veins.
Well, I think she's an alien. I've said this before many times. She talks about aliens in a lot of her songs.
Mm-hmm.
They always end up being her favorite songs. There's not even imagery, like, in a lot of her music videos, it's actual aliens come down to take her have you ever seen Pretty Girls, that music video with Iggy Azalea?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aliens take her in the end. Her up to their planet. I mean, it's in a lot of her stuff.
She also has like a mega X factor that seems extra human in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's just like, she's the most fascinating celebrity on the planet to me, because there is just something about her that is so magnetic and so kind of otherworldly. It makes sense to me that she'd be interested in sort of alien themes. But yeah, I think the song is kind of a bop too.
It is.
Like, not just lyrically, like, it's a good song.
Yeah, you can, like, it's a real drive around town at night and just, like, cruise.
Exactly.
End of a long day. It's kind of like meditative.
Mm-hmm. It is meditative, repetitive. And I also think, like, you know, there's been some criticism of her vocal performance on there. And I think that it's actually like one of the most authentically Britney vocals because of its artifice.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know what I mean? Like, we don't listen to Britney Spears because we want like vocal virtuosity. At least I don't.
No, you want to hear her just be the artist that she is.
Yeah.
And when people give her voice a hard time, I get really upset, because I think, well, one, when people say she doesn't write her own songs, you know, this whole season we're covering songs she has a writing credit on. So one, she does. Two, she doesn't have to. She's an artist. It doesn't mean you write all your songs to be a pop star, to be iconic.
Not
it's about
all.
The performance that she brings to it. And so it's like, you don't have to be the best singer, because she outshines Christina Aguilera. It's not even a competition to me, even though a lot of people do love Christina, like guests we have on the show. It always comes down to, were you team Britney or team Christina? And I have respect for Christina. I'm not saying I don't.
I respect Christina too.
But obviously Christina Aguilera is a better vocalist. I mean, obviously.
Well, in terms of technique, yes.
Yes.
But I do think it's interesting that you have these kind of superstar high level vocalists like Ariana Grande and Christina Aguilera going on talk shows doing Britney Spears impressions, because it's like, to be honest, like, the reason you're doing an impression and the reason why it's landing is because her vocal tone is so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a compliment to Britney that like a Britney Spears impression always kills, because it's like doing a Bob Dylan impression. It's like, this is somebody with an iconic vocal tone.
100%. Have you always felt this way about Britney?
Yeah. It's funny, because when Britney came on the scene, I was in college. I was, when Baby One More Time came out, I think I was like
99.
I was like a senior in college. So I was an adult. And I was also like, you know, kind of, I don't really know how to describe this in 2019. I'm sure there's a different way of describing it, but I was kind of like alternative. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you would never have met me and thought that I would be interested in this new teenage pop star that was blowing up the scene. So, but I just could not resist her because of her magnetism. It was just immediately obvious to me that this was like a new, like person on the scale of like Madonna, mm-hmm. or Michael Jackson.
And it was instantaneous.
Totally.
Now, what's interesting to me, like, as I mean, I obviously have seen all your movies that you've written and everything.
Thank you.
But there's something I would like to talk to you about. One, that you changed your name to, mm-hmm. like, Diablo Cody is a kind of like a persona or an alter ego. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. Sort of like semi-retired at this point, because I don't... like, literally nobody left in my actual real day-to-day life calls me that. Like, everybody calls me Brooke. I have three kids. Like, I'm just like, you know, the Diablo thing is that's who I am in the Writers Guild, and it's like impossible to change. So it still goes on all the scripts.
Uh-huh.
But that's about it.
But so it doesn't feel like now when you like go to work that like a Sasha Fierce Beyonce type thing, like you're like, I'm going to sit down and write I am Diablo.
You know what? Like, I probably should do that. I actually lately I've been wondering if that would be, because lately I've been in kind of like a slump in terms of writing, and I've been like, I haven't had like the most successful couple of years. So I was thinking to myself, like, maybe I should try and like reclaim the Diablo a little bit. And then a really dear friend of mine who helps me out a lot creatively sent me this. He sent me this like jewel last week. He was like, this is important. You need to, it was like this purple jewel that said Diablo fucking Cody carved on it. He was like, you need to look at this and remember it. And I was like, maybe I will.
Yes.
Maybe I will. But yeah, like I think earlier in my career, it was definitely like a Sasha Fierce type thing where it was just easier for me to sort of summon the qualities that were required to survive in this business if I had something to hide behind, because I'm actually not a very aggressive person.
And this might not, I don't know, I kind of take that as, especially because at the time, when, how old were you when you were like, I am Diablo Cody?
Oh gosh, I started using that name on the internet when I was like probably 25.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. And I always say like about pop stars, why I like love them and relate to them and feel seen is because like I would stand in my mirror and try to dance like them and become them. And it was like this very private thing. But you would, even when I was really young, and it wasn't like you're acting sexy, but it's not about sex, but you're standing there and you're like, what it is that I feel powerful.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm borrowing their power. And so especially when you're young and you're starting out, you're like, I have all this stuff within me, but I kind of just need to like put something else on in order to like go out and do that thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like the name would be really helpful.
It is helpful. And it's also like, it's funny. Do you remember how much criticism Britney got when she started behaving in a more overtly provocative way?
Mm-hmm.
Like with the, you know,
the snake,
the
probably.
Snake. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Honestly, which, for you, yeah.
It's the other day I was driving home from Joshua Tree and I put on this old Oprah interview with Britney that had happened like just post the snake performance.
Yes.
And it was fascinating. I listened to the whole thing and it was fascinating because Oprah is trying so hard to get, she really wants Britney to admit that the snake was a dick. Like she's like, but what is the snake? Like, what does the snake represent?
Mm-hmm.
And Britney is just like, it's a snake. Like the song has a jungle feel to me. So we had a snake.
But you got a lot of bad press for that. Some people felt it was too suggestive. Did you expect that reaction?
Honestly, no, not at all. I was just, you know, I wanted it to be all jungly because the whole Slay For You, the song, it kind of, you know, and I think it inquires a little bit of the... No, it does. It has kind of the whole jungle feel, you know?
Yeah, jungle feel. Okay, I was trying to get with that. Because, I mean, like, when you are dancing with a python around your neck, the whole idea is what? The python represents what?
Jungle, like at the very beginning, I'm in a cage and I had a tiger with me.
I saw the whole thing. And so the python is just a whole part of the jungle feel.
Yeah, to make it very theatrical.
Okay, it was very theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, like, I don't think Britney was lying.
100%. Like, she was not lying.
Like, I think it was completely sincere. I don't think she was, like, playing with Oprah. Like, I think, like, Britney thought the song had, like, a jungle vibe and she had a snake. And maybe probably somebody on her team decided it should be an albino snake that would evoke a dick.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't think Britney, I feel like that time, and I am making a point here. It wasn't about sex for her. It was about power. It was about like asserting herself and presenting herself the way she wanted to. It wasn't about like, I'm going to give every man in America a boner. She was already doing that.
Already. And the thing is that Britney loves to move. She loves to dance.
Yes.
When she does it, It is mesmerizing.
I love her dancing.
No one can dance like her. And so when she's like, I just feel powerful and great.
Yeah, exactly. Like I really feel like certainly the people that were surrounding her and were, you know, deciding directions for her career were probably making some decisions that were motivated, like prurient. Do you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I don't think she was.
at all.
You know, I don't think that she,
I agree with you.
I just think there's something, I just love her so much. I just have like, I just have so much affection for her that it's impossible for me to assign any bad qualities to her.
And you, and you saw her show in Vegas, right?
Yes.
Did you see it more than once?
No, I only saw it once.
Okay.
I would have seen it like 35 times if I didn't have three kids. I just never get out of town. Like, uh-huh. It's so rare for me to be able to leave somewhere and go overnight.
Sure, of course. But, no, Britney Spears, everything you're saying, I'm so on board with. Like, it makes me so excited. Like, when she posts Minion memes, it really... Because I was like, you know, she just acts like a divorcee with two tween boys. And
which
then
is
you're
what
like,
she, from
exactly.
the South. Yes. Like
and that's what she is. When she posts pictures of like three single roses.
I love a tableau. Like roses are like a strand of pearls or like, yeah. I mean, I love
Spears meme right
Minion memes. And I love when she posts like food and it's just like, yum. Like when she Googled corn, which was like one of my favorite things ever. Yes.
Yes. And like a virgin margarita. And she's like, this was delicious.
I love it so much. I love when she talks to us candidly about like the 2 pounds she's trying to lose. But then the next day, it's like, yum, lasagna. And everyone's like, Brittany, you're 2 pounds. But like we mean it affectionately. Like it's just. Oh.
She's just doing her. She is one of the most authentic people. I love what you said, that she is the most unaffected and affected celebrity.
Yeah, like she's
all at once.
She's clearly completely affected in the sense that the industry just like broke
her. Yes.
And she's like under a conservatorship, but she's the least affected in terms of like for 20 years, people have been asking Britney Spears what she likes to do for fun. And for 20 years, she's been saying she likes to clean, which I think is like, it's real. I think she actually likes to clean.
And I can fully relate to that. There is nothing that brings me more joy than just attacking my house.
Really?
And then it's a little weird. I understand.
No,
but
it's
then
not
I,
weird.
But
then I envy you.
But then I sit on my couch and I like to observe all of my work and it makes me feel really good. And then I can move on.
That is a good feeling.
I mean, it comes from, I mean, listen, this is a part of my general anxiety disorder for sure. I mean, like this is part of it.
Yeah.
But it's a release and then I can move on. But I enjoy cleaning too. And when she cleaned out her closet or her housekeepers did it for her and she had all of her plastic hangers.
Oh, her plastic. I mean, can we please talk about you? I emailed you about this, I think, because I'm so obsessed with the hats that she bought when she was on vacation. Because in this world of Kardashian excess, for Britney to be like, I can't wait to show you guys the awesome souvenirs that I picked up in Grand Cayman or wherever the hell she was.
In the Turks.
And then pants
in the Turks and Caicos, yeah.
And it's like three base like baseball caps of the resort she stayed at.
Once
there was like a sun hat. Yeah, there was
a
like
a baseball cap, one sun hat, and then a pink beaded bracelet and a pink thing of nail polish.
Which is so awesome. Like, I just, it's... She was just never the type that was like, look at mama's new pink Maybach or whatever. Like, she just is like Britney.
Just Britney all the time.
Yeah.
Always and forever. Now, this song Alien that we listened to, she wanted it to be a single so badly. She also, when she was launching her Vegas show, she wanted to perform this song.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And she had a documentary, but it wasn't the Britney for the record. I forget what this one was called, but it was basically to promote the new Vegas show because it was like her big comeback and Britney Jean, the album was going to come out. And there's this scene where it's Britney and Larry Rudolph, her manager, and they're standing there and she's like, well, I want to add Alien. And he's like, no, we will. Maybe we will, but just not right now. Okay. And she's like, okay. And then someone's like, what, Britney? She's like, I just wanted to add Alien to the show. And then they're like, maybe we will. But we're going to put Perfume in. That's the new song we're going to put in because that's going to be your single. But what's great is that once Britney started doing the show and then she went through a breakup with that guy, David Lucado. He was the one that wore like the vests stuff all the time. She removed Perfume and put in Alien. It was kind of like, you know what? I'm going through a breakup. I need to put Alien in the Vegas show.
Alien was healing for her.
And all she did.
Man, I wish I had been at one of those shows.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be so great to then see her perform Alien? But what was really funny, because they weren't prepared for it, they brought out a high top like chair, like at a bar, a bar stool kind of a thing, but that had a back, and she just sat on it in her leotard and knee-high boots and sang it.
which is how it should be.
I would love a stripped down Britney show.
Oh, can you imagine? And we know that she can. I know there's like so much debate about like whether she can still sing. And like, I know she can. We all heard her sing "I Can't Help Fall in Love with You" that one time on Instagram. And that was all the proof I needed.
180.
There. Oh.
And boyfriend behind the camera phone.
Yeah. You know what? I like the current boyfriend.
Me too.
I think he gets her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they've got a deep love.
Yeah. I'm happy. I feel like all the fans are on board. And that's a good feeling because, you know, there have been some people in her life that were maybe not great for her.
I feel like he loves her. He has sisters. He's like, yeah. He's not from America originally. I feel like
which
that.
Which is helpful.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. Like, I don't think an American can have a normal relationship with Britney Spears.
Yeah. No.
Like, if Jesus came back to Earth and wanted to be in a relationship, he would probably need to find someone who wasn't Christian.
We also
because otherwise it would be too weird.
We also need a tiny bit of a language barrier. So, you know what I mean?
A little bit.
Just
yeah.
A little bit. Like English, or even just like if you can speak great English, you just need to have like an accent, just so there's like a little delay in the connection. You know what I mean?
So I'd love to know like what, you know, I apologize if this is a tired subject or if you've rehashed this endlessly, but like what do you think of Kevin Federline?
Well, I think that he had wolf eyes, so I understand the initial attraction. I feel like they, you know, met on the dance floor at Joseph's or whatever. I'm probably wrong about that, but when that was like the club of the moment.
Right.
And when I first moved here, I went to Joseph's a lot to try to like see Britney because there were rumors that she went there.
Yeah, I moved here around the same era. So where it was like there were those specific clubs that everybody went to and you'd see Paris Hilton like roaming the streets and like good times.
Good times. Really good times. But I think like I understand, but then it got really and it was right after Justin. And I feel like she also was super horny and they had like really great sex.
Oh, definitely. The chemistry between them was insane. I mean, of course I watched Chaotic and like they were definitely into each other.
When she's in the makeup chair right before one of her performances and she's telling her makeup and hair people about their sex life and she says, I'll never forget it. She just goes, ecstasy, ecstasy, ecstasy. It's so good. It's probably just so good and dirty. So I get it, but same
era. I remember her talking about, I can't remember if it was an interview or it must have been, where she was talking about how she had like bought a bunch of lingerie for Kevin and worn it for him that night, the night before. And she was like, I turned into Wicked Britney. And I was like, I want to see Wicked Britney. Yes. Like the luckiest man in the world. Can you imagine?
And yeah. Oh my God. No way. I can't imagine it.
I mean,
can't.
I cannot imagine having sex with Britney Spears.
Because that's her, that's where she thrives. That's her love language. It's all.
Totally.
It's all the physical.
I think her love language is probably touch and maybe like cooking acts of service.
Yes.
Like I think she probably makes you like grits.
Yes, because.
And fucks you.
Yes, because what comes first? I would kind of want the grits after. But the, because her current boyfriend, she just posted a video on Instagram of him cooking for her. And she was like loving it, like losing her mind over
so
it.
So cute.
And then they work out together and he does push-ups with her on the back. So it's like, yeah, touch. All of that.
She's so athletic. Like, she's so good at yoga. She's doing those one leg of wheels, just like it's nothing.
The fact that she does yoga in a bikini and then post pictures of it is, I mean, I hope to be that free someday in some way in my life.
Who do you think takes those like sped up, like goofy ass, like poorly edited videos that she posts?
Gotta be some assistant.
Yeah, because they're not great. It's clearly there's not a pro involved.
And sometimes I feel like I can tell when it's her boyfriend behind the camera. Like you can
feel his gaze.
I can feel it because it's the way she looks at the camera.
Oh,
but then I can. But some of those the sped up ones where she's working out and stuff, I feel like that's an assistant.
Yeah, and, I mean they're fascinating to me.
And you know when she came back from when she took some time off. And then it was like she wanted to get back on her Instagram and it was a photo shoot and it was a red background and she's kind of like moving side to side and kind of dancing. And you could tell that whatever, if it was a new cocktail of meds or wherever she had been, that it was like things were settling.
Yeah.
And my sister and I were on the phone together, and we were like, you just know that someone's like, where's Brittany? And it's like, oh, she's doing a photo shoot. Yeah. I'm just like running up to grab some more dresses out of the closet, like rip open the plastic bags from her online shopping she did last night.
I love that she, like, what didn't she posted a dress recently that was from like Macy's or something, and was like, I love this. And I was
the
like,
yellow dress.
So, yeah, and I was like, I love you. Like,
it's just like those zippers, you know, they just break off. It's a plastic zipper on all those dresses,
yeah,
all
I know,
that
but
stuff.
Like, she's just not a couture person. Yes.
No. Yeah, not at all.
That is the dress.
She looks great.
She looks fantastic.
She can make anything look adorable. I also like that her style is adorable.
Yeah, she likes to look cute. Like, mm-hmm. when she was at Disney the other day with her boys, she wore like, she is a Southern Belle. She had like a ruffled little sundress on and little, like, I think wedge heels. And I was like, I don't, like, when I go to Disneyland with my sons, I dress like garbage because yeah. it's an exhausting day, although I assume they get they roll out the red carpet for Britney Spears
sure.
at Disney. But I just saw that and I was like, she's committed to cuteness.
Well, I really appreciate that you look like garbage when you go to Disneyland with your kids, because sometimes when I see people on Instagram, like, they are really
all dressed up for Disney. Yeah.
It's just
we can name names after the podcast.
Yes, we will. We will. But it's a lot.
It is a lot. And it's definitely like for the gram, I think.
For the gram. Yeah.
But when I go, I'm like, I know I'm going to get wet, and it's going to be like the filthiest fucking nasty ass water. And like, it's Disneyland. Like,
and I will say, I appreciate however you want to do your life, go for it. But I.
Oh, yeah. No, I respect it. If you want to get dressed up to go to Disneyland, I mean, there's absolutely no shade being directed at anybody here. I'm really just admiring that Brittany is committed to what makes her comfortable, which is a very specific look. Mm-hmm. And she likes, even though everyone on Instagram every day is telling her to take off her eyeliner. She's not going to do it. She likes that look.
And what's interesting is that if someone played this game with me where they're like, you're going to a deserted island, you can bring one thing with you, what would it be? Well, I guess I would need two things then. But one of them would be eye makeup remover. It's like the one thing I have to do when I come home at night, like after a party, I have to take my eye makeup.
Do you think she's not removing her eye makeup?
There's no way.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. No, it looks like it's yesterday's eye makeup most of the time, but I was like, maybe that's a specific look that she's creating.
I think it's like weeks long because
then
it's
weeks?
Well, I think it's like the day after and then she just adds on to it.
Okay. So maybe she showers, there's some residue, and then she puts fresh eyeliner on. Mm-hmm. I guess there was a time in my life where I lived that way.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what else is interesting? If we're going to get into like the specifics of Brittany, I think she keeps her natural hair like pretty short and adds extensions.
I know. I want to know how. I want to know the length of her hair.
I don't think it's very long, which is weird. Because at this point, like, whatever. This is like, it's too mysterious for me. But I can always see where the layers blend. And I'm like, so is she just removing the extensions, cutting her hair and putting the extensions back in, which would seem counterproductive to me?
Mm-hmm. I've never had extensions.
I've had them 1,000 times.
Really?
Yeah. And they're really hard to take care of. And so, I don't know why I keep trying. Because every time I get them, they turn into like a fucking rat's nest.
So those are like the ones where they're little pieces, right? That get like sewn into your hair?
I don't know what kind she has. She probably has tape-ins. Or you can do the
glue. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Her hair looks good though.
That's like that picture especially is really nice.
Yeah.
I would love for her to take them all out. Just rock a bob. I love her with a bob.
Remember her divorce bob? What, right after she broke up with Kevin Federline. Yeah, she went on like the Tonight Show, I think, and she had a cute little bob, chin length, and like a little black dress.
She really did. And then she went ice skating right after, I remember, at Rockefeller Center.
I love that we know exactly the interview.
It was like,
I'm
Britney is back. It was her weekend in New York. But I also
she looks
loved
great in a bob, and I also like her as a brunette. Not nervous breakdown black, but like that light brown, yes, is very pretty on her.
The Onyx Hotel tour.
Yes, when she died in the middle when Kevin was, yes, there. Yes, it
was
really good.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yes, people disagree with me. I think it was really, really pretty on her.
No, it is pretty because I believe that's her natural color. Like, I think she has light brown hair.
Yes, she does. So, like, when she first came out of the scene, when she was a teenager.
Yeah. That is so pretty.
Really, really pretty. That's a pretty shade.
It's good. Yeah. I don't like the black. Blackout black, even though she was making the best music of anyone's career at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But
amazing album. Yeah, she was such a trendsetter. Yeah. I kind of think that Britney is a trendsetter, but like 15 years ahead.
She's like way ahead of everybody else.
Because when she did a blunt bob, it was like in the late 90s. Like, it was in between, it was right before the Oops, I Did It Again album came out. Do you remember she had this like short blunt bob? Will you look it up?
Oh, yeah. Like early.
Yes.
Yes.
And think about it. Like a blunt bob didn't really come into play until like 5 years ago. So she was like 15 years ahead of the curve.
She's probably ahead of the curve in other ways. Like.
Yeah, she looked so fantastic though. I absolutely loved that.
She's just, oh, that's super cute.
Oh, that was,
whoa,
the,
whoa,
that breakup.
Can't be. Are those her
breakup.
Real boobs?
Yeah, because that was after she had a baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the post Kevin.
I thought that was like a
divorce.
Fake or something at first.
That was the divorce bob.
Oh, that's a great look.
Love that. Yeah, she looks great with a bob. That's a wig, but that's fun and cute. I like that.
Yeah, she's cute.
She's also,
there have been,
I think,
very few looks
really
she's
beautiful.
Had that I've had. She's incredibly beautiful, and I've noticed anytime you read like a extensive profile of her, like in Rolling Stone or whatever, they always talk about how really gorgeous she is in real life, even compared to her photos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like she's just a stunning human.
If you got to hang out with Britney, like, what would you do? What do you see?
You know, like, obviously, I do want to pick her brain. Like, I want to, if I was hanging out with Britney and I could be ensured that she was in like a candid, outspoken mood, obviously I'd want to ask her a lot of questions about her life and her career. I want to ask her about like Kentwood and like what her childhood was like prior to the Mickey Mouse Club.
Mm-hmm.
And like, does she feel like those formative experiences like to still inform who she is and how she parents, or if she's parenting from a more alien place, to be honest, because she's been Britney Spears TM for so long.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like, I'd probably talk to her about like raising boys and like, I don't know, like, knowing Britney, she'd want to do something like, she'd want to like go to the Grove.
Yeah.
We could ride the trolley around.
Yeah. If she could just be free and like, yeah, ride the trolley. What stores, I mean, now that, is Forever 21 still there?
Oh my God, she probably would shop at Forever 21.
And Sephora. I think those are the only places she could really hit up. Maybe a Gap, but it's more like she's more Old Navy, you know?
She's just completely real, and no one has been able to affect that. That's why it was so disturbing to me, that brief period of time where she was hanging out with Paris and Lindsay. Very brief.
Very brief, yeah.
It was like, this is not who you are.
She just really wanted to get fucked up and just like, She wanted an escape. She like needed an escape.
Yeah.
And I think
they represented like bad girl freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, let's show our vagines and and but I also, you knew it was really that they wouldn't be real friends.
Definitely.
They wouldn't
not.
Protect her. They wouldn't, that they were also probably being really mean to her.
They were definitely being mean to her. You can tell that like Paris thought the whole thing was hilarious because Brittany was clearly not in a good place. Paris called her the animal.
Oh, like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible? So Paris is literally like dragging like an unstable Brittany around town, like taking advantage of her, like getting the publicity and just smirking.
Such a strange time. When you
it
think back, like
time.
It was like wild and fun. And like, there are parts of it that I really miss because it was so simple. It was before Instagram.
Well, no, I miss the pre-social media era like you would not believe. Like, I just think everything was different. I don't think people have even begun to understand or like absorb what a massive cultural shift the rise of social media was.
It affects everyone's brain in every second of the day, how they view even, I don't know, or maybe this is just me, but like even how I view doing anything. People, I think I look around, I see people taking pictures and you know it's for Instagram.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know. It makes me really sad.
It is sad. It's weird. And it's funny because I was on the internet like I was an early adopter. I was a blogger like a long time ago before it was a normal thing to do.
I mean, you were really like one of the first.
I wasn't like one of the first, but like I was early to the party. Mm-hmm. Like I think I started blogging in 1999 and maybe 2000. Anyway, my point, and that was like an era where you had to like learn how to code to have a blog. Mm-hmm. Like, like I had to take coding classes. But what was weird about that is at the time that was considered like very disordered, eccentric, narcissistic behavior. There were articles in like major newspapers about like these crazy people who had blogs and webcams and who were putting their lives and photographs on the internet, and how like how messed up of a person do you have to be to want to put that stuff out there for public consumption? And now like my mom and dad are on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like everyone's doing it and it's completely normalized. And it's funny for me because I remember a time where people were like, what mental illness do you have that you took a picture of yourself and just posted it on the internet?
And how has that changed? Because you arrived to the party early.
Yeah.
And now is it because you got there early that you're like, I don't.
No, I'm on social media. I'm just like private. No, honestly, it's like it's honestly a really like juvenile bratty mindset I have where I'm like, well, it was cool then because no one was doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was cool because it was weird. And it was also like, believe it or not, at the time, it truly was about authenticity. Like I remember taking a picture of like my like messy ass kitchen in my apartment in Minneapolis and being like, guys, look how fucked up my kitchen is. I need to clean. Now, like you're like curating the images that you choose, like you're putting your best self forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, or like I don't, it's just like the whole culture around sharing has changed, and it is no longer about honesty or storytelling. Now it's about like it's like about advertising yourself.
Yeah Something that I love about you is it seems to me that you have a real true love of pop culture.
Yeah. It's like my favorite thing in the world.
And that when we were on an episode of 90210, I read this last night, mm-hmm, in preparation for this interview.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
Right.
Because it was it before or right after you won the Oscar?
It was, I want to say at least a year after. And maybe more.
Okay. And then in the character is that, so Donna Martin makes you a dress and you're playing yourself.
I'm playing myself. I was on the red carpet for some event and I wanted a Donna Martin dress for the event. And it was like, I'm Diablo Cody. I want can you make me a dress? Like, so funny.
How did that come to you? Were you so excited?
I lost my mind. It's funny. I was just thinking about this last night, actually, because I was watching the new 90210.
I watched it the other night.
Well, and I was thinking to myself, like, I can't believe I'm technically part of the 90210, like, television universe. Like, I exist in the world of 90210. But that was incredible. I think it was Judah and Sachs, the creators, the showrunners, reached out to me, and I was like, absolutely. And I don't act at all. Like, I'm a horrible actress. I'm like a fucking cardboard cutout. I was like, but I'll do it because, like, I want to be on 90210. So I did it. And it was a cool experience. You know, one funny thing that happened doing that is the one of the wardrobe ladies, like, freaked out about how fat I was, like, in a way that made me realize, like, I feel so bad for actresses. Like, they have to deal with this all the time.
She's like, oh, these pants. Pants that are going to fit you.
She was like horrified by my measurements, like openly. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I've never had anybody just say to my face, like, oh, my God, you're a really big person. And I can't believe I have to make this dress.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that's, do you remember the cast of that show?
Yeah,
this was the reboot.
Yeah, that's very,
these were
very
these
true.
Girls who were like the smallest human beings you have ever seen in your life. So I think she was probably like someone who'd been like living amongst mm-hmm. these wraiths.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
mm-hmm.
very weird for her to see like a human being that ate food.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Like just to eat anything.
Yeah.
Like a vegetable.
Exactly.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Because they're like not eating at all.
I mean, these were like extremely tiny women. Very, very, very tiny.
Another thing. Now, I don't know if this is public knowledge, but you recorded a song, right?
Oh my God, are you talking about Element?
I don't know. I don't know.
Have you heard it?
No. But I have heard. I heard that you recorded.
I did.
A song.
Yes, I did.
And it was a song that you've had in your head for a long time.
Yeah, it's a song that I used to sing at home to make my husband laugh. And then for my 40th birthday, he surprised me with like recording time and a producer and was like, you're going to read, the song is called Element. And he was like, you're going to record Element. You're going to make it. And I was like, no, it was like the greatest gift I've ever been given in my life. And then we went and recorded it. And it's ridiculous.
That to me is the most romantic, the most romantic gesture that any partner could give a partner.
It was very, very sweet. Yeah, because it was like acknowledging what makes it extra romantic is the song is atrocious. Like, that's why it's funny. So he was like, even though you and I both know this is the worst song ever written, like, it deserves to be immortalized because it makes you happy.
Yes. And like to get in the studio,
oh, it was so fun.
And you like, did you put on the,
oh my God, I had the cans on, I'm in the booth, like, I'm dancing. And then we had the most amazing guy recorded it for us. This guy, Rylan Blackington. And he totally understood like the vibe we were going for and that it was supposed to be ridiculous. And so he was like doing like the full record producer shtick for us. I mean, it was hilarious. It was so great.
And you just totally jumped into that whole, like, took it seriously.
I wish I could play it for you. Like,
can you send it to me and I can play it in the recording?
I'll die.
Maybe?
No, I've never publicized it. I'll play it for you though. It'll make you laugh. It's like it's an 80s like women's empowerment anthem.
Well, so I have a song that I haven't recorded it, but I have sung this lyric cuz it's really just a lyric for maybe 10 years. And I sang it to my husband the other day and I was like, I've had this song in my head forever. And he was like, have you talked about that in therapy? And I was like, why? What do you mean? He's like, well, I think that the lyric says something.
Can you disclose what the lyric is?
Yeah, well, it's just, this is what it is in the melody. But it's like, I want to live forever and ever.
I love it.
And so your song is about being in your element.
Yeah. It's about it goes like this. It goes, I'm in my element. I'm feeling myself. Never did I dream I'd be feeling so well. Element, and I just can't believe the feeling I feel comes from me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like just like, it's like a, oh my God, like I am the shit song.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would just walk around the house singing that and everyone would be like, shut up. And then like, now it's a real song.
But see, because, it just needs a pump you up song.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. And I'm like, I want to live forever.
Yeah, I want to live the same deal.
And ever. It's just like, it just gets going.
It's a spell. You're willing it to happen.
It's a spell. Mm-hmm. It's a spell.
Yep.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
I had to ask because I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Lindsay told me.
Lindsay's into it. She had a fake gold record made for me of Element that's on my office wall.
Which is better than anything.
It is any like the award. Best gift. The best
gift. That's fantastic. That's amazing. Okay. Another thing I want to ask you about is you wrote the book for the Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
Musical that's coming out.
Yes, I did.
I'm going to tell you something. My sister saw it twice when it was in Boston. That's where she lives.
I love that she saw it twice.
Saw it twice. And the second tickets went on sale for it to be on Broadway, she called me and she was like, guess what? We're going opening weekend. So we're going on a sister trip to see
it. I'm
going to
be there.
Well, hopefully I'll see you there, or at least you'll hear me cheering.
Dude, that is so awesome. Thanks to your sister for supporting us. That means so much to me.
She loves musical theater, just like knows all the musicals, everything. She was like so excited to go. She said that she had never felt, and she went to Rent when it came out. And we were teenagers then.
Yeah.
But like in the first year, and she was like, it was an electric feeling like that. Like, it is just going to last forever. Yay. And the story and everything. So wait, I need to ask you though.
It makes me happy.
How does something like that come about? And did they let you go and kind of imagine the story on your own? And then.
Oh yeah. I had like total free reign. It was crazy. They were like, basically they had a director. They had an opening date, and they had. The only thing that they didn't, and obviously they had this whole catalog of music by Alanis Morissette, and the one thing they did not have was a script, and they needed one, especially since they already had an opening date planned in Boston. And so they said, like, can you come in and write the show?
Wow.
And I said, yeah. So I just sat and listened to Alanis's music, obviously, for a while, studied it, and I began to realize that there were certain themes that kept sort of popping up in her songs. And I started to sort of visualize characters. And I wound up writing this story about like a dysfunctional family and using the songs as the connective tissue. And it was like a super fun process. I mean, it's an insanely long, hard process, but it was really fun. And now I'm like hungry to do it again. I'm like, what musical am I going to work on next? Because I really loved it.
Wow. And is it music just from the Jagged Little Pill album?
No, we actually have music from Jagged Little Pills, from Supposed Former Infatuation Junkie, from Under Rug Swept. I don't know if you know anything about Alanis Morissette, but like she has, we have the song Uninvited, which mm-hmm. I can't remember what album that's on.
Oh, that was from, and that was used in us. Is it
City of
Angels?
Yeah. Yeah, we have like, basically any song you have heard of hers is in the musical. It is jam packed.
And did you meet her?
Oh, she's worked with me on the thing the whole time. Yeah, we've collabed.
Oh my God, you've collabed with Alanis.
Oh, big time.
And what was that like?
It's amazing. She's first of all, like, I don't know if you've ever really like listened to an interview or a podcast with her. She's super smart, like intimidating. I don't mean celebrity smart. I mean like Cornell professor smart.
I listened to her on, I forget what podcast, but talking about relationships and marriage, and it blew my mind.
Yeah, she's very into psychology and, I mean, honestly, like an expert on those topics. And so she was honestly the perfect resource to have in terms of talking about family systems. And also, she's just super cool, like insanely chill. Like, I would just say, I don't know if this lyric is going to work in the context of the show. And she'd be like, rewrite it. And so I'm sitting rewriting her lyrics all the time. And I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. It just feels so weird to mess with pop culture like that.
Yes, especially because you love it so much.
Yeah, and then I went to see her perform in Vegas a couple months ago, and she had changed some of the lyrics in her own concert to reflect the musical, and I was like, this is crazy.
Wow, what a compliment.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just like little pronouns here and there, and then part of me was like, did she even do that on purpose? Like, because we've heard it the new way so many times, but it was really cool.
I'm really excited to see the Britney Spears musical.
I am too.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I said that defensively because there's some people in the Broadway world who I think aren't, it's not that they're unenthusiastic about it. I think there's an assumption out there that I don't want, you know what? I shouldn't talk about this. I think it's going to be great and I want to see it.
The fact that it is princesses who then are in a book club.
Yeah, which is an awesome premise.
Awesome. And then they want more from their books. They wish for a new book and the feminine mystique lands in the middle of their book club. Then using Britney Spears' catalog.
Yeah, it's an incredible premise. And it's Britney's music, so it's clearly gonna be amazing. I think people just like to shit on stuff women like.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just like, oh, it's Britney Spears, it's book club, it's princesses. Like I don't take this seriously.
It has the makings to be completely on brand for Britney, like who Britney actually is, like that authentic, where it's like she's simple and complex all in the same breath.
I wonder if she's involved at all or if she's just going to like pop in and see it.
Well, I've seen pictures of her from maybe even over a year ago, like going to a rehearsal.
Oh,
but I think
I'm surprised to hear that.
But I think it was maybe the only time. It seems very, a very...
To be honest, I don't blame her. As someone working on one of these shows, I don't blame her for not wanting to be there all the time because 95% of it is just like tedious.
Mm-hmm. And once you say yes, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Like Alanis has been there so much that I'm always like, if I was in her position and had that level of power, I would be like, you know what, guys, I'll see you in 6 months when you figure this out. But she's super involved.
I mean, a Broadway musical. And you worked on Burlesque.
Movie? Well, here's the funny thing about Burlesque is that script was rewritten a million times by some really interesting people. John Patrick Shanley worked on it. Susanna Grant worked on it. I'm talking like multiple Oscar winners worked on Burlesque, which is funny to me because it's Burlesque. But yeah, I did a couple months on that.
Burlesque, though, I think people were like ready to for it to be campy and to make fun of it. But kind of, you know, in a positive way. It was like, oh, but then I saw it, I was like, I really dig Burlesque.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
I mean, Cher.
Cher.
I'm proud to have worked on that.
It's a great movie.
I don't know if anything I wrote made it in, to be honest, because by the time the movie comes out, I never remember. Like, I do lots of rewrites.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'll go and I'll see the movie and I'll think, and I'll be curious, like, oh, like, let's see if any of my scenes or lines are made it in. And it's then I, like, don't remember. Maybe I wrote that.
Maybe I did.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. I have some Britney questions.
Okay.
Oops, I Did It Again. Or Toxic?
Toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wins every time. For
some Toxic is such a good... Toxic might be like top 10 pop songs ever written, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Britney in a leotard with knee-high boots, or Britney in an Elvis-style like pantsuit zipped up?
Listen, if you're talking about like the... Are you referring to like the... I mean, I'm going to go with a pantsuit. I love when early Britney wore the like boot cut pants on stage, like at the famous nude suit, which is like my favorite thing in the world. I like pants, Britney.
They, you know, they have that Halloween costume of the, that nude,
the VMA nude.
Yes, they do have that in a costume, but also there's a popular Halloween costume of the Oops, I Did It Again, the red.
The vinyl.
Yes. And it's latex. Like they really messed it up, though, because they made it a skinny pant.
No, you have to have a boot cut pant. That was Britney's whole look.
It made me so mad. Guys, you've blown this great opportunity.
They did it to probably cater to like today's modern silhouette preference. And it's like, no, it's a period piece.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't want this. This isn't accurate. I need that boot cut.
I love Oops, I Did It Again, though. I mean, that's a great video. It is a great song. Yeah.
I also really love when Britney wears like a business pant with a business pant with a suspender.
Oh, anytime Britney goes for like a menswear thing, it's adorable. It's so incongruent.
I would like for her to bring that back. Like, keep this playful. Listen, I want Britney to be Britney, but I would love it if she brought back a pant, like a business pant.
She looks great in a business pant. And I also kind of like it. This is really hard to explain, but sometimes Britney will try to be something she's not. and it somehow makes her even more herself. Like once in a while when Britney will decide she's like dark and edgy and she'll wear something that where she's clearly just trying to convey like a almost like a sexy goth side of herself, and it's like, oh, like I love that you're feeling that.
Would you consider when she was dancing with the snake recently, a stuffed animal snake in her living room? Did you see this video?
No.
To Billy, I can never say Billy. Is it Billy? No.
She was dancing
Eichner.
To Billy Elliot with a stuffed snake.
No. So far, Jeffrey just said Billy Eichner. No, Brittany is not dancing to Billy Eichner. Jeffrey. I love you though. To Billy Eilish.
Oh, Billy Eilish.
Eilish.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, Brittany danced to her song with a stuffed animal snake, and she's like, "This is something like, this song is so great it made me take the snake out again or something."
Oh, that's cute.
And then
mom humor,
and then she really lets it rip and dances her ass off.
Oh, I can't believe I haven't looped this 15 times because I love watching Britney dance.
And she's just, and then she jumps up on a baby grand piano in the back of
her
living room.
Are you making this up?
No, we're going to watch it.
Yeah, please find the video for me.
We're totally going to watch it.
White shirt, now red, my bloody nose sleeping. You're on your tippy toes creeping around like no one knows. Think you're so criminal.
Do you think a time will ever come where Britney is living independently again? And
I thought for sure before this most recent stay at a, I believe it was a mental health facility. I thought that it was inevitable that after both her children turned 18, that she would then be on her own. Living her own life.
Yeah.
Because I figured that it must have been something with like Kevin and money that was keeping her in the conservatorship. But now I really don't know. I don't know. I can't make heads or tails of it.
I didn't think about the sort of financial, the Kevin side of it, or that makes sense. That would make more sense. It's just really, it's fascinating that an adult woman can't make like basic decisions about her own life.
I know. And yet it's just like she's such a unicorn. And exactly when I think she's simple and I got it, I'm like, I don't know what's going on with Britney. I don't know what happens behind closed doors.
Yeah, no, I mean, our impression of her might be completely off. You know, you remember that horrible Rolling Stone story, The Tragedy of Britney Spears?
Yes.
The profile where, you know, someone walks up to her and asks for an autograph and she says, "I don't know who you think I am, but I'm not that person." That's kind of chilling.
Yeah. Was she shopping? I remember
that.
She
was shopping, but she was shopping in like she was totally manic and like throwing clothes and screaming and crying and like, it was like a chaotic scene.
Yeah, and that's when you're like, well, if she's in the middle of mania, or I don't. But I think that there's a lot of truth that in what she said that is always there.
Yeah. I mean, we don't actually know any of these people, no matter how available they make themselves to us. And, you know, I can't imagine her life must be such a prison. Like even spending time with someone like Alanis, who was, I don't think a lot of people are aware of how, younger people I don't think are aware of how like hugely famous Alanis Morissette
was. She broke the mold too.
In the 90s and still is. But like there was a time in her life where like she could not like leave the house. And even now if she does, she gets approached immediately. And like, I can't imagine how isolating that must be.
And Britney talked about in the Britney on the Record documentary, she talks about how she just felt like a prisoner.
Okay, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say I was okay. I mean, people deal with when they're going through stuff in such different ways. I don't know how, maybe I had traumatic stress or I don't know what, how I dealt with it, really, but I just remember I did not want to be at home. Because, like, my babies represented home. That was my home with them. And every time I went home, it was like, oh God, I can't be here. So when I was in my car and when I was driving, I was going somewhere.
And she wanted to be free. She just wanted to drive, drive, drive.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, she went through that weird phase where she was just driving all the time and going to Starbucks and going to gas stations and the paparazzi were just tailing her. Like, I think, yeah, she was just trying to, like, get out at any cost.
And there's all this, there are a lot of rumors out there whether or not she is allowed to drive. And for a while, I guess that was part of her conservatorship where she wasn't even allowed to drive.
Oh, does she not drive, like, currently?
So very recently, people have seen her driving, and that, like, made the news because she hasn't been driving for years. And it's like, look, I'm just going to say it. I don't know her, but I'm going to say at the very least, Brittany should be able to drive.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Let her feel that freedom.
I don't understand why, like, she just, and I know this has been said exhaustively, but I just can't believe that she makes so much money for so many people. And then it's like, oh, it's like, we're fine with you generating income for hundreds of people, but, like, you can't drive your car. It does feel exploitative to me in a way, even though I do think she loves to perform.
I think it's her happy place.
Yeah.
Some people might disagree, but I think that's the one place where she feels truly empowered.
Yeah. The dance studio and on stage.
And everyone, that's
and
where.
And a Macy's.
And a Macy's.
Yeah.
That's where everyone leaves her alone, too. Like, all of her people.
Yeah.
They can't interfere once she gets on that
stage.
It's
true. She really is. She does have autonomy on stage. And she never fucks it up.
Never. God, I love her.
Yeah.
When did you see, when you saw the Piece of Me show, was it towards the beginning of the run?
No, it was like 2 years ago.
Okay, so you saw it right at the end. So that's when it was great. I saw it twice, once at the beginning and once at the end.
She really, like, she
woke
she
up. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, yeah, like, because there was a time where you started to see, like, the dance breaks getting stronger when you would watch, I mean, as one does, watching videos of Piece of Me.
That's all I do.
Yeah. So, and it was just like, yeah, like, it seemed like there was definitely, like, a shift that occurred. And I did see her at a more lively time.
I love watching old Britney dance breaks on my phone, like, laying in bed at night. It's very soothing. It's very soothing. That and watching old videos of Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling, like, make out were together. Those two things
that,
really.
That kiss at the MTV. Like, I've watched that so many times, it's embarrassing.
I know it's to the Maroon 5 song.
Like,
he's wearing a Darfur t-shirt.
I also love watching her Notebook audition when she's reading with him, and you know that they don't even know each other yet. And, like,
and then when she finishes and he puts his arm around her and they face the director, and then I think he even kisses the top of her head or something
like
that.
It's like, I can't. Honestly, if there was any celebrity, former celebrity couple in the world that you could magically get back together, who would it be?
It would be them.
It would be them.
They bring me so much joy, even over Britney and Justin.
I was just going to say, I think if I'm a magical genie, I might pick Britney and Justin just because it's the ultimate. Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling is a close second.
Because I just don't think Justin deserves her. I really don't. I don't think he does. I don't think he does. But
I mean, look, we know she cheated.
We know she cheated.
She was a young woman. Young woman, possibly unwell, like, at the time. Yeah, I don't know. It's so cute. I mean, he was her first kiss.
And they did. Well, this is my whole problem with Justin, is that he doesn't seem to really honor that history.
Oh, no. He has completely detached himself from it. You can tell that he does not want to be associated with it in any way.
I always watch the Oprah interview with him when she was going through her breakdown. And she says, well, you know, she's having a breakdown. And he said, oh, I didn't know that. Is that what they're saying?
Did he?
And she's like, yes, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know her. That's what he said. We were young when we got together.
I think his whole thing is he's obsessed with this like authenticity man of the woods bullshit that he's been trying to like
rebranding himself as a white man. Great.
And even when he was rebranding himself as a black man, I think he just wants to be seen as like a real fucking artist. And he thinks the association with Britney Spears or with NSYNC is like taking that away from him somehow.
I know. And you see Lance trying to put together.
Yeah, Lance is.
Lance is trying to put together, you know, these this tour where he has like Debbie Gibson and everybody coming together. And it's like, Justin, can you just have fun? Can you just give this to us? This is what we want.
I know. But he won't do it. He won't. He is like.
He's too cool for school.
Hi, baby. Oh,
oh, lucky kisses. Blue.
It's so hard to.
It's like you smiled at him and he went for it.
He knew exactly. He knew exactly what to do.
You know, Lucky Blue is named for Lucky is for Britney Spears.
I was going to ask you that.
And Blue is for Joni.
You know, there's like a male model named Lucky Blue, right?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe that was the. Oh. I thought that was the inspiration, perhaps, but Lucky, I mean, talk about like, you know what's interesting is like Lucky feels, the song feels like it's Britney wearing her heart on her sleeve and like expressing her anxieties, but you know that song was just completely like Alien, I think, is like an authentic expression of Britney's isolation, and like Lucky was like the commercial version.
Ooh, we should play those back to back, Jeffrey. We're gonna write a whole we'll write something about that. You and I. We'll
she was so cute in that video.
So cute. So beautiful. Just like longing sweetness.
I kind of love that she hates the song sometimes.
Okay. A lot of people have wanted us to talk about this and we never have.
Really?
Yes.
That she dislikes it? Mm-hmm. I just like that specific song bothers her.
What do you think it is? Do you have any guesses?
Like, I don't dislike the song. I think what it probably comes down to is that she just didn't vibe with it and they made her record it. And I don't think like Britney likes being made to do anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think she has good taste.
It's true. I am. That dance number though is so great. The choreography for the
video
video
is
great.
Really
good. The
video is awesome. They form a heart and you know, it's great.
and she opens her arms up to the sky.
I just like that she's not into it. I just like her having an opinion.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Well, this has just been great.
It sure has.
Thank you so much for coming over and talking about Britney Spears with me.
Thank you for having me. This has been, I've been looking forward to this and it's one of my favorite topics and it's fantastic. Thank you.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.